Congratulations.
You're listening to Congratulations Pine Tree, the Bay's number one arts and culture podcast with me, Kate Rhodes.
And me, Maysoon Wazwaz.
We are here talking to artist Victor Saucedo.
Hello. Thank you. I'm excited.
Yay. Oh, my goodness. Well, we were here chit-chatting before we started recording, just wasting precious words. But, Victor, you were saying you kind of came through SF State in a funny way.
Yeah. Oh.
Did you know that?
Well, I think I gathered that you went to SF State, but I don't know that much more.
I feel like
that you're friends with Sun, who I love.
Yeah. So,
I'm a big Sun fan Park.
Yes.
Yeah, you're friends with a lot of our friends.
Nice. Well, yeah.
Surprise, surprise.
Surprise, surprise.
Well, and you fucking got batoned at a protest. That was a big moment for me knowing you.
That's a moment. You know, it's happened before. No biggie.
No shit. It's a biggie. A biggie, Victor.
It's a biggie, and we liked it. Not that you got hit, but that you're such
love that you got hit.
But that you were there protesting for Palestine and going hardcore. That was fucking badass.
Got to.
You also have a cat named Spooky.
I do. Shout out my little baby, Spooky.
Is Spooky a black cat?
She is.
Aww.
Yeah.
And what have you learned? I mean, are black cats, have you had cats prior to Spooky?
No, but been cat adjacent. So I've had a lot of cats in my life, not my own.
I feel like there's people out there who think different breeds of cat, like that cats have different personalities.
Different breeds.
Is it different breeds or different patterns?
Well, but do
patterns?
You think that's just bias?
Come on, you must believe that there's some like higher power to the cat world.
Well, I do believe that cats have their own cat god that we can't possibly understand. Okay, Victor, just jump in.
No, this is great.
Victor,
no, I think that's right. I think.
Anyhow, have you ever had issues with your cat getting into your artwork?
Oh, not me, but my partner. So actually, we're sitting next to one of my girlfriend's pieces.
Oh, sweet!
Right over here, the ceramic with the beads and the enamel.
Haley
Summerfield.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk a little bit about your show that you have up right now?
Yes.
Say the name of the gallery because we always say it wrong. Sorry to Chris. Actually, I'd like to take this moment to make a public apology to Chris Grunder.
This is specifically from Kate, not the podcast, I have to say.
Right. I'm speaking right now as an individual, not a representative of any organization. And so is Maysoon and so is Victor. Mm. We are individuals right now. And also, this is our project, a parody and a satire, so we cannot be legally culpable for anything we say. But I will be legally culpable for apologizing to Chris Grunder, who I outed as having a dog with testicles when the dog was just a puppy, and it did get its testicles. They did all the stuff they do.
Right.
So, yeah, neutered. Is it neutered?
That's the term.
Spayed for a female dog. Thank you.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Knowledge.
Chris, I have to apologize. And your dog's testicles are your own business, and it should just, I'm not involved, and I'm sorry.
Wow. That was a whole thing.
Yes.
Because he thinks you're like saying he's a responsible dog owner, irresponsible dog owner.
I just want to say I have no judgments on anyone and how they handle their dog's testicles.
I definitely do.
And back to Victor.
That's a crazy lead in.
But Victor, go with that one.
Your show.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
It's up.
Yeah.
Has nothing to do with
Has
dog
nothing
testicles.
To do with Chris's
Zero.
Dog.
No, not at all. Though I do have a piece that says no dogs on it as
yes,
a part of
you
it.
Do.
Yeah. So yeah, it's a two-person show with put together by a friend, Gabriel Garza, and yeah, it's myself and my friend Lisa, and we came together and decided to put a show together. Our work, though, probably subject-wise, does not, you know, necessarily have some of the same language, but materially we do. And my work is very much about segregation signage and my reaction to them. And then looking at the everyday, like right now, and reacting to racism, really, white supremacy, imperialism. Yeah. I don't know. Like there's so many things I could go on a tangent on, but I feel like I need questions to hyper-focus.
I mean, it's obvious in your work that you're talking about segregation and, you know, all the things you just mentioned.
Yeah, intersections, baby.
Yeah. But there's also like a lot of playfulness to it, or maybe playfulness. Well, kind of.
It's playful.
And also like kind of like poking at like like kind of a fuck you vibe.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I think
punk.
I definitely
it's
have
kind
that.
Of punk kind to of be punk. Honest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel pretty punk. In certain spaces, I feel very punk. I don't know. Do I belong? I belong. I don't know. Yeah. It's very much a fuck you. I feel like I am not, I didn't grow up around art at all. So this is my introduction to it. And I'm seeing a lot of institutions, spaces, and works that feels very...
Institutions behaving very badly.
And this is my way of getting back at them and saying something outside of my Instagram. You know, yeah. I do say things on my Instagram sometimes. And
did you, I know that you work with ceramics and other media. What is the show made of?
Ceramics, a lot of vinyl. So a lot of printed images, found material that I actually got from Oliver and Andrew, who I share a studio space with for their art.
Andrew Sungtake Ingersoll and Oliver Hawk Holden.
All the names.
The lads.
Many names.
Yes. But yeah, I share a studio space with them, and they had a lot of material that they were just trying to get rid of, and I just figured, let me use it and create a body of work out of it.
Were there parameters given?
No.
I'm just curious about how different galleries, free birds, do whatever you want.
Make what you want to make. We'll show it, and then we'll sell it, and then that's it. Lisa and I got together a few times, and have obviously chatted on the phone, but we just decided to approach it separately and then come together at the end and see what worked.
Mm. This is a question for me also, kind of. When you make work that in its content is so anti-imperial, anti-racist, anti-all the things we hate, institutions want to take that and make themselves look like they believe in these things.
Right.
On the surface.
Sure.
And then will treat their workers badly and be super racist in other ways and all these things. And
censor artists.
How are you combating that? Because, like, that's a struggle I have as an artist.
Sure. I mean, part of it is that I've stopped attending institutions and really being around it and working for them. And I'm still trying to figure out, like, where my place is in this space in regards to that.
It's so sad. Sucks.
Yeah.
It's like, especially when I see an artist who is, like, someone I look up to or whatever, and they go work with a place that I know is garbage.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of these times when I'm seeing somebody go work with motherfucks.
No, absolutely. Yeah. I had that realization pretty recently, really. I'm like really new to all of this. I graduated from SF State in 2022. And then in the last 2 years, like, you know, hanging out with Oliver and Andrew, I've really had the opportunity to see all these new galleries and spaces and talk to people. A lot of things that I love and enjoy and work with artists. And then there's also moments in these last few months where you see how certain spaces treat their workers or artists, and I'm like, how do I navigate anything like that as like this little fish in this medium-sized pond?
Very accurate.
Right? Very accurate. And so which gives me like the ability to make that kind of work right now. You know, who knows if someone will, you know, let me or ask me to go into a bigger institution and do something like this. I just don't know. So I'm just taking advantage of this opportunity and going for it.
So when you're thinking about showing at a space, is there a conversation that happens initially around stuff like this? Or is it just sort of like gauging what they've done in the past? Sort of how do you determine who the best, like who to work with and who not to work with?
My truth is, I've only shown a handful of times.
Yeah.
Like I'm like actually surprised that I got to show Bass and Reiner at Minnesota Street Projects, probably first and last time.
No, I mean only maybe. If you want it to.
Yeah.
Be.
Yeah. I don't know if they'll let me back into that mall. Sorry.
No, don't be sorry. We love it.
Just kidding.
I fucking love it. It's perfect.
No, yeah, I've only had this conversation twice, really. One time at Root Division for introductions, and I was like fresh out of undergrad and I was like still unsure of myself, right? Like, you know, I don't know what I'm doing, but I know this is the kind of work that I'm making. And I was making video work at that time as well and included a lot of like violent images of myself nude, half nude, very performative, and a lot of ceramics and this whole thing. That's very much what I'm still doing now. And they were okay with it. They understood it, and the conversation with Gabe was pretty much do what you want to do, and then from there that's it. Yeah, I've only shown a handful of times, like maybe 4 or 5 times since graduating. It's been like backyard shows and, you know, other group shows with smaller spaces that work that maybe isn't necessarily like the No More White Woman brand.
Which I love.
You got to talk about that too. I mean, it's very funny to me that it's like all your entire online presence is No More White Women.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Tell us about it.
Well, sure. Yeah, where are you, what is, was this about, when did you come up with this on the fly?
No, so listen, it was before I moved up to the Bay. I was dating a white woman.
I knew dating was a part of it.
For
I
sure.
knew dating was what was going
Absolutely,
on.
You know it. And we had broken up, and two friends of mine were like, that's it, no more white woman for you. And I was like, that's clever.
Maysoon loves it.
And
I
so,
fucking love it.
Maysoon, yeah. Are you also on the No More White Women train?
I mean, yeah. But I'm on, well, I'm on like a No
You
More
haven't
white
dated any
period,
white women.
Yeah.
That's a fact.
I haven't dated any white women. That's true.
That's real. Yeah, and so that's how it started. And then...
I would go No More White People.
That's nice.
No More Whites.
Yeah, it's over.
That's it.
They need to cut it out.
There's had a enough. Few in the hopper that I have to like kind of a grandfather
yeah.
in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like Say my it. Mom.
But like
your mom probably.
Well, I'm talking about babies yet to be born.
Oh.
For sure.
What?
I mean, it's not clear so if they're going to end up white women
right.
necessarily, but Whites. They're probably going to stay white. Yeah.
Probably staying white
Wait,
is
let's
a good
on
one.
Topic here. What
right.
are you trying to
Anyhow,
say?
Anyhow, back to you.
Yeah,
oh,
so No More White Woman. And then I went down this like whole rabbit hole of like why do men of color, because I had a history of predominantly dating white or white passing women. And so I went down this whole thing of like soul searching and figuring out what my deal is, why I date white women.
Did you find out? Was it white supremacy in action?
Yeah, kind yeah. of. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's kind of what led to like my practice. It's like nudged me into this direction. I was always like a bit of a history nerd. And then as I started doing my own, you know, self-reflection, I was like, this is kind of like the route that I want to go into and like confront whiteness,
yeah.
you know, as opposed to making work about just being the victim. I want to confront the aggressor and meet mm-hmm. them at this point.
Were you getting into any of the like ethnic studies department stuff going on at SF State? Because I know they were like the first one right ever
in the country, yeah.
Yeah, 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 they created it. Shout out the Third World Liberation Front for doing all that.
Yes,
beautiful work. So I transferred to State during COVID. So I originally was going to move down to LA. I got into Long Beach, but you know, lockdown happened, so I was unsure what the state of the world was. So my options were San Francisco or Long Beach. And I'm from Monterey, the Monterey area. So two hours south of here. So I opted for the safer option for San Francisco. So that first year I was all online and didn't really get to do anything truly, except sit in front of a screen and
That's
and
real
play.
Were you in like studio art? Program?
I was in the studio art program.
So did you have a studio at home or were
no,
you able to
my, oh my section God, 8 so little apartment
yeah.
room. Yeah.
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 That's a miserable experience.
Yeah. And then my second year, which is my final year, they opened up. So I went in. I moved up here and then I originally was a painter. And I got over it. I didn't want to paint anymore.
Why are you snapping against painting, Maysoon?
I just love the getting over it part.
Yeah,
I feel like that happens a lot to artists. Like, they go to school and all of a sudden they're like, oh, I want to do this whole other thing. Fuck
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
I also relate to it from, like, I have a dance background. And so I did, like, years of ballet as a kid. And then I got over it. And
Respect.
I do all this other shit. And
yeah,
it's
yeah,
so
yeah.
much...
Sometimes.
You know, like, I like the... I take some of that that I learned into
yeah.
this new practice.
Totally.
But I'm so over That's all.
Yes.
The growth.
Don't let tradition keep you in a box.
Never. And then I did ceramics and then kind of fell in love with it. 2 semesters. That was it. My love.
Cool.
for ceramics.
Now, ceramics can last forever.
Well, I guess. Unless you abuse it.
Are you thinking about how your work is going to be received in 500 to 1,000 years from now?
Oh, never.
It's hard to imagine humans existing for that much longer.
Oh, for sure.
I saw some, I think maybe on your Instagram, no more white women.
Two.
Numeral two. That you, there was, I don't know at what point in your artist practice this was happening, but you were giving away ceramics, or like you would complete them and then like put them out on the street and sort of observe who took them or how people were engaging. Yes. I love that. Can you talk a bit more about that?
I mean, it's really about accessibility for something that's been around since like the dawn of like civilization. Folks cannot touch it. Folks can't make ceramics. And so part of it was just like giving it away. So yeah, after the show at Root Division, I just had two boxes of ceramics and went in front of the federal building, started handing them out and then setting them aside for folks, and watched community members take them, put it in their carts, or watch like workers just stare at it while, you know, trying to figure out what the ceramic thing is. Yes. And then, you know, after that, I would just start placing them in random places and just seeing how folks would interact, come back a day or two later, if they were still there or not, if it was broken. There was a point where I set one near Golden Gate Park, and the next morning I went over and there was a TV sitting where the ceramic piece was.
Wow.
It was like a weird trade.
You can snap.
Yeah, it's no snap. Snap
you
away.
You can snap.
Go ahead. Yeah.
It was a trade? It was or like they took the ceramic and left the TV?
Yeah, it seemed like it was like in the exact same spot. Amazing. I was like, right on.
Did you take the TV?
No, I didn't need it.
I wasn't sure if they were like creating a sculpture with your ceramic, like the ceramic and the TV. And if someone else adds like, I don't know, a hat.
Collaborative assemblage.
Yeah.
That would have been cute too, but it was cute anyhow.
Do you believe in ghosts?
Yeah.
Have you seen one?
Probably. You know, I don't know what's real anymore.
Do you feel like have you had any like encounters with or things that are like, like spooked you?
Yeah, for sure. My mom.
Besides your cat.
Besides my cat.
I was like, oh no, spooky.
My mom is heavy into like the belief of ghosts and like spirits and things moving.
Check behind you.
I'm scared.
And so that, I don't know if that's, I believe it or if I'm just traumatized, but.
Wait, tell us more about that. What, like, how would that come out in your like childhood, or how would,
Sorry.
Yeah. Oh, here we go.
No, I'm just curious. Like if your mom is like a strong believer in that, like how did that influence you? I guess maybe.
Well, I don't go to church. That's for sure. You know, that definitely was an influence. She is very much a Catholic woman who, you know, this, that, and the third. But, I mean, my major influence is that I do believe in spirits. I don't know if I believe in God. You know, shout out to folks who do, though. Appreciate y'all.
Shout out.
But there was a point where I was trying to make my practice, like, spiritual. I don't know. And I just didn't feel right to me. And then I walked away. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a quick one. Quick turnaround.
Mm-hmm. What were you working on when you were trying to let the spirits in?
I was trying to make, altars. Everyone makes altars nowadays, which is fine. But
people have been making altars forever, Victor.
I know.
Well, and it just wasn't hitting.
It just wasn't doing it for me.
Yeah, and that's okay.
Yeah.
I think I'm being haunted by my grandmother's ghost. Do you have any advice?
Oh, Jesus. Talk to her.
Try talking to her. Okay, that's good. That's doable. I can do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you believe in hell?
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't believe in God, but you do believe in hell.
I feel like you end up floating, and then if you've been doing some naughty things, you're not floating, you know, as high.
Holy.
We got to hope these politicians go somewhere that fucks them up for the rest of their fucking life.
Absolutely.
For the rest of eternity.
Yeah.
Totally.
Wow, that's some wacky, wild stuff. You ever been out to the headlands?
Yeah, a few times. Not
it's
my
haunted.
Favorite.
It's supposed to be haunted.
Well, that makes sense.
I wanted to just highlight something I read, that you are the Regen Artists Fund.
Oh, you have
you just awardee.
Yeah.
With from Galleria de la Raza. That's and that me. You're going to be doing community ceramic workshops
in the
Tenderloin, which is fucking awesome.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so thank you.
I mean, I just said all of it, but tell us more.
That's the gist of it. Yeah. Galleria is funding it. They gave me some shmoney to buy a bunch of clay and glazes, and basically I'm partnering with Hospitality House, where Haley, my partner, works at. And they have like the only free ceramic or art studio in the city, and so I'm partnering with them. I'm going to be doing 3, maybe 4 ceramic workshops, all free. We're going to do tile glazing, hand building, some wheel throwing, and I'll be buying with the money that I was awarded $50 gift cards for 10 to 15 participants per workshop.
Sweet.
To pay the artist for coming in.
Rad.
And then at the end, when all the work is done, I'll have it fired and glazed. We're going to have a exhibition at Hospitality House's window gallery with all the work. And I'm going to be inviting a few ceramic artists from the Bay to, you know, just show alongside our community members. Yeah.
Love it.
Can you just say a little bit about what Hospitality House is for people who don't know?
Yeah. So Hospitality House has, they mostly work with folks who are marginalized. I want to say this properly. I learned that it started like in the late 60s or early 70s, has been around for a hot minute, and they're super well funded and try to do their best to like really serve the Tenderloin in every aspect.
The Tenderloin has more children than any other neighborhood.
Yeah, I see that. You know what? I learned from Galleria
maybe
that...
per capita.
Oh, really?
Is it per capita?
It's such a per capita. Incredibly dense neighborhood.
Most children per capita. Yeah,
I think interesting. That makes sense. I see that. I learned through Galleria.
Everywhere else is just overrun with dogs.
That's true.
And people who have like, you know, houses and yards and stuff.
With their dogs, for their dogs. Poodles.
Oh, a lot of poodles. Shout out poodles.
Nothing against poodles. Nothing against poodles. Congratulations, Pine Tree will never take an official stand against poodles.
Oh, here we go.
I'm taking this away from you.
Here we go.
Here we are apologizing to poodles now. God damn it, Kate.
Well,
what's up with you and dogs?
I'm pretty sure Chris's dog is some kind of doodle.
Oh, no, no, no. Oh.
I said it. And I love that dog. I don't care what's going on with it.
I have nothing to do with this.
Oh my God. Please continue, Victor. Thank you so much.
I learned through Galleria that actually the majority of Latinx or Hispanic, the majority of the Hispanic community in SF lives in the TL. I didn't realize that. And that most folks obviously think the mission,
yeah.
But no, it's not true. They've all been pushed out into the TL. And that for them, like this project is also very much a good way to bridge their resources into the TL because they...
Such a snapper right now. Yeah. My God.
Snapping like we're at a poetry
I know. Meeting. I love it. I'm just dropping spoken word over here.
Yeah, you want to say things.
Say it.
I don't know.
But yeah, I learned that. And so I think that's why like we're partnering in this way. I want to bring attention to Galleria and bring their resource to one space, and then you know Hospitality House also has this opportunity to help others. I don't know.
I love that because Galleria, you know, is now they're also kind of in a weird spot in the mission. Like they're kind of on the edge of the mission.
Where are they now?
Well, they've got one spot. 16th.
No, do they still have that spot?
Yeah,
on 24th.
Yeah, it's nice. They have like a big space too. It's like more of an office space than anything.
So is that the original space that they're back in somehow?
I don't know.
There's
a whole history. I'm learning.
There's a whole thing where they got kicked out.
Yeah.
And it was, there were protests everywhere. It was literally a whole thing.
They also have FTP written a million times right outside the door. Is it that spot?
Could
and
be.
Then they say for the people.
I didn't know that. I was just thinking because
I'm thinking about
their other, the newer space is kind of on the edge of the mission a little bit.
Yeah,
so it's interesting
to
be like, for them to be thinking about bridging other neighborhoods back to the mission or back to the sort of like that history of Latinos in San Francisco.
It's at 24th and Folsom, which is like where I went when I applied to this grant.
They got it back. I don't know how.
Wow.
And it's like, it's galleried out. It's really nice.
Oh yeah, no, I'm sure. Yeah. I gotta go check it out now. I just assume that they, where do you live?
Oh shit.
Like what area?
And do you believe in magic?
Absolutely, 110%. Oh yeah. I live.
What is the focus of this?
Ponies.
Which direction am I going?
Ponies,
in?
Exactly. Ponies.
No, yeah. Sorry. I'm so sorry. No, where it's do okay. you live? Give your full address.
No.
I live next to the Mint. I'll say that.
Oh, okay,
oh
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
In like Soma?
No, the Mint's up in the Castro. Okay.
Oh, like, the bar.
It's kind of like.
We're not talking weird. About the Mint where they used it's to have Market the SFAIMFA show.
No.
Not the actual Mint. Oh, okay. The Mint where you sing karaoke. With gay men.
Yeah. And then there's the Mint, the U.S. Mint next to it on the hill.
Yeah. There's another Mint. There's an actual Mint building up there, too.
Yeah.
First time I ever came to San Francisco.
Is that considered the Castro still? I feel like I call it the Castro.
On
but,
Craigslist, it was
oh,
Lower
fuck
Haight.
Craigslist. Those motherfuckers but are trying to
I
like.
I don't know. It's like
real,
a
how
weird
dare
one.
You
Realtors.
Say fuck Craigslist on this show? We love Craigslist.
I just feel like people who are trying to any realtor,
yeah.
anyone is trying to use. Like reframe
Remap.
Everything to make it sound like it's some fancy bullshit,
yeah.
you know, so they can make as much money off of it
yeah.
as possible.
Correct.
That's all.
Yeah.
Not Craigslist, but
the realtors.
Whatever.
Apologies to Craigslist.
Sorry, Craig.
Craig.
I'm sorry.
Okay, so you're there.
What was it? Mm-hmm. Oh, and so magic, yes or no?
Yeah.
Okay, yes. good. And can you do magic?
I also believe in magic.
Can you do magic through art?
Can I?
Or anyone? Can
are you about
one?
To pull out the tarot cards?
Here
or what's
we go.
Going on?
I'm feeling really on the like sixth sense wavelength today.
I can feel it. It's the hat.
Thank you.
I like, and sick
I like that you like,
did
redesigned
this myself.
It.
Thank
yeah.
you. I did that myself.
It looks like a baseball to me.
Oh, like with stitches?
Stitching?
I think all the hardcore stitching.
Yeah, I did it after I got out of the mental hospital.
That's a good project.
It
for
looks
you.
Good.
With some occupational therapy.
Oh. Hell yeah.
Okay, what was it like being from Monterey? Like what? I don't think we've ever had somebody on the show from Monterey.
Yeah, so it's got a weird history. It is really nice. I will say that. It does. It is pretty racist though. It's gnarly. It's a very touristy town. But a lot of the locals are, you know, racist. It's just like, I don't
white.
Know. Heavy.
Heavy white.
Heavy.
Heavy cream. Heavy whipping cream.
Don't ruin whipping cream for me.
keep that in. Don't edit that. But it was cool. In
did
a lot
you,
of ways.
In elementary school, did they take you to the aquarium?
Oh, plenty of times.
That's Kate's favorite place.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't.
Although it is, you know. What
really expensive.
Lori.
Super
or
ridiculous.
Someone Packard from HP is one of the big funders of it. And
yeah.
that sucks because HP is BDS. And
yes.
Oh, yeah.
That all blows. But I got to say, Rosa, one of the oldest sea otters there, shares my same exact birthday.
Oh, that's a reason to go for sure.
And I get my birthday button and then I watch her have her birthday ice.
Yeah.
Do you really?
Yeah.
That's adorable.
That is really fucking
that's cute.
Oh my God.
For sure. Respect.
And Salinas is right there.
Salinas is right there. I went to Salinas and Seaside a lot growing up. So, like, I lived in Monterey, but I spent a lot of my time in Seaside, Salinas, Marina, and then middle school and on, more Pacific Grove. My parents made me transfer to a better school district because they were afraid that I would fall into, like, the whole gang violence situation out there. So I ended up going to Pacific Grove, which has an interesting history, and I suffered like some real racism there. In my truth, I was hogtied.
What?
Fuck that.
Yeah. So in middle school,
holy shit.
Yeah. There was a game where, well, it was during lunch. There's just this giant field at the middle school, and I was like walking past a group of kids. And I overheard one say, "Do you guys want to play hog tie Mexican?" And then I just turn around and they're just staring at me. And then they just start chasing me. And so, you know, I run. And at that time, they're like, I'm like new to the school. So they're like kind of my friends, but not really, you know, mm-hmm. They end up chasing me and they catch up to me. It's like four or five of them. They pin me down and then they just start putting my hands and my feet up, you
fuck.
Know?
Oh my
and
God.
Yeah, somebody...
That's very scary.
Somebody stepped in, you know, after what I felt like an eternity and was like, you guys should knock it off. And it was another student. Then, like, a chaperone came in and was like, you know, that roughhousing, like, do that after school, blah, blah, blah.
Oh,
like, no,
God.
No reprimand,
fuck?
You know. And then that was it. Like I got up, grass stains on my shirt, and that was it. I had to just keep on going.
I would want so much revenge.
Yeah. I mean, you know, later on, after reflection and going into my art practice, I started to like use that, I would say. And I did call them out on it maybe a few years ago. And No More White Woman 1 was taken down because of that. Because a lot of
really?
Yeah. A lot of my hometown folks followed me on that account, obviously. And I called them out. And a lot of folks, I got a lot of nasty DMs from it.
What, just being like,
that didn't like, happen. What are you talking about? You're a snowflake, blah, blah, blah. I was like, shut up. But then, you know, my account got taken down. It was reported.
Your account got taken down.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And yeah, I called them out for a lot of things. They also used a lot of, you know, hateful language, not towards just like brown people, but African-American. They used a lot of anti-Semitic language. And Jesus, I was like, Christ. we were young, but there was a point where like, I was looking back and just like realizing a lot of things, and I still followed them on social media. I was like, nothing has really changed for a lot of these folks. Yeah, I kind of just put out a big letter, you know, just putting out my feelings, really, because I was just angry at that point.
That's actually pretty fucking badass that you did that.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. And then, yeah, shortly afterwards, maybe a day or two, my account was taken down.
That sucks.
And then I started No More White Woman 2. like 2 weeks afterwards.
Sure enough.
Yeah.
Oh fuck.
Do those people follow you on the new?
No. I made sure to block them.
Good. Okay, good.
This time around. Yeah, I'm pretty good with the block button as of late. I'm like, there's a moment where I was like, I've got tough skin, I can handle it. But you know what? Honestly, I don't need to see comments. I don't care enough.
Good to protect your peace now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On your Instagram, you're clearly very pro-Palestine, which we appreciate. I appreciate it. Yes. Thank you.
Free Palestine.
Free Palestine always. I've been struggling, and maybe Kate too, with just like friends in this moment. Mm-hmm. Like honestly losing friends.
Sure.
I'm curious to know like what your experience has been since you are super vocal online.
Also. Yeah.
Losing faith in humanity.
Totally. I think that part of it for me is because I've always just been vocal for a lot of things. A lot of my friends just either who I keep around just align with what I'm saying automatically.
But we all recognize being vocal about some things is okay in this country, but being vocal about Palestine is a very different thing. So it's different.
Totally. I feel like my close friends are all down. I don't, I think that some of the newer friends that I've made just living in the Bay have different feelings and do support Israel in a lot of ways. And I've taken a step back from them. And I'm okay with that. Yeah, like I don't have a problem just not talking to people. My truth, you know. I don't know how else to say it. At this point, since October to now, I've totally like stepped away from maybe, I don't know, like a handful really. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 This is a great opportunity to say that congratulations, Pine Tree is an adopter of the Palestinian Campaign for the Academic and Cultural Boycott of Israel, otherwise known as PACB. If you want to learn more about PACB, come on down to et al. If you feel like it. We've got free zines about it if you want to adopt PACB at your workplace or an organization you care about or a gallery or whatever. Come talk to me about it or give us a call, 419-351-6606. You can email us congratulationspinetree@gmail.com. God, we got to get out of Google now. Google's also
that's fucking BDS. That's a hard one.
Proton mail or some shit, man. We got to get on there. Okay, I'm getting on there, folks. Lucky we got to come to it.
Totally.
BDS on CPT is coming through.
Hell yeah. Join PACB. Join. Yeah. Victor Salcido says join it.
Yeah, get in there. It's honestly not that hard to do.
Have you had anyone approach you like that's part of a larger institution but wants to like PACB their small like program?
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, there actually is a department at, I think, the University of Illinois that adopted. Like, the whole university didn't, but, like, I think, I forget, it might have been an ethnic studies department. But, I don't know, things like that. I know, I mean, not PACB, but, like, at SF MoMA, they had one department that was wage certified. Working artists in the greater economy will certify organizations if they pay their artists a fair money for their work. So like, I know departments can kind of split off and go do renegade stuff sometimes. I think PACB might be, I don't know. Sure. I don't know. What are they going to do? Split off the damn department? Some department. Come to me. Talk to me. Do better, SF MoMA.
Say it. Just do better.
Yeah, definitely say it. We say it all the time. Are you kidding me?
SF MoMA.
They probably say the same thing.
They do too.
In their offices.
I have this is maybe somehow related.
Sure, say it.
I read that you sort of started the School of Art Student Union.
Yeah. So Sun.
Can you tell us about that? Because that's rad.
So Sun and Leonard were two grad students there.
Leonard Reidelbach.
Yes, you got it.
And Sun Park.
Yes. And they put out a call on the SF State's like Instagram account for undergrads to join like the SF State Art Student Union, and I was interviewed and I got in. Myself and my friend Jasmine, we were the two undergrads, and we joined, and I just wanted to make friends, really. I was like, I'd never joined a union prior to that, like a school union anyway. And I did it just to make friends, and I ended up just enjoying like the organizing aspect of it. We advocated for student rights. I got into a lot of trouble because I was a loudmouth. whatever. Anyway, well, actually, I'm out of there, so it doesn't matter what say anymore.
You're done with them.
Yeah, I'm done with them. There's a lot of great faculty members who I love, and there's one or two that you know who you are.
Ooh,
straight up.
But yeah, we advocated for students, and towards the end of my time there, we threw a big art party at the ICA through their Meantime program. Mm. And we did a poetry reading. We had projected art because we couldn't install art physically in the space, and we invited all of our friends to set up like vending booths there. So it was like a weekend thing. We paid all of our friends. We got like $3,000 from them to just
do whatever.
Yeah. And it was all sort of like an homage to the Third World Liberation Front as well. We were really just trying to bring attention to some of the history at SF State and like the role the art department like played. They screen printed all the posters. All the art students were very much involved. But we just didn't learn any of that. And so Jasmine and I were like, let's figure something out. And Jules, our friend Jules, who joined.
I love that.
Yeah. Do you have any hidden talents you want to tell us about?
Oh, shit. Hidden talents?
Amazing question, Mason. That's a great.
I am a purple belt in jiu-jitsu.
Shut the fuck up.
Yes! Haven't practiced like intensely in a few years, but yeah.
Purple is very far.
Yeah, for sure. A lot of tournaments.
Damn. All right. Well, that's don't so fuck cool. with I did, Victor,
I did,
people.
I did do some MMA.
Or fuck around and find out.
Fuck around and find out, which is why I'm very vocal and I don't like, I don't mind saying things. Because my truth is like, fights are fights. I've gone into fights before. It's not a big deal.
I want to do jiu-jitsu. Should we do that?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. And I've ran a marathon before, and I'm attempting
God
to
damn.
Train again for another
Holy
one.
Holy fucking Christ.
Cool. Yeah, I did the Big Sur marathon a few years ago.
What? That sounds like that was really fucking hard. Big Sur, I just think of Big Sur as like a big fucking mountain on the ocean, basically.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, like yeah. There's definitely like an incline.
You went on a marathon on a cliff?
Well, kind of, yeah. I mean, there's rails.
That's crazy
amazing,
shit,
dude.
I've done that. I've done a few things.
Cool. That's some serious hidden talents.
I love it.
Okay, here's the deal. Is there anything else you want listeners to know?
Vote locally, free Palestine, demand more from your politicians and governments. Always be kind to each other. Say no to oppressors. Yes.
Yes!
Well, thank you so much for chatting with us back here.
Having me.
Of course. And as always, congratulations.